All right, our guest tonight is L.A. Marzulli, and we're going to be taking your phone calls next. He is here telling us about this press conference coming up February 2nd, revealing the DNA results from the Peruvian elongated skulls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast AM, standing in this weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I say standing, everybody, because I was corrected yesterday on Twitter. Somebody asked me what kind of chair we used here in the studios. And L.A., I don't know, have you been to the Coast studios?
You know, I never have. I'd love to get invited one time. I've never been there, though.
Okay, well, just you check your email tomorrow. I'll see what I can do. But the point is, we don't sit here in the studios. We stand. So everything, it's the opposite of what most people think this is. I'm standing right now. And I used to say, I'm sitting in for George Norrie. And somebody cracked this joke yesterday. You're not sitting in, you're standing in because you don't have a chair. So now I've changed. I've changed the way that I'm standing in as host this weekend.
Literally.
Yeah. So when you come up here, we'll get you on the, you know, you'll come in and come into the studios, but you have to stand for 4 hours with me. Ah, now you're not interested, are you, L.A.? Okay. But yeah, we stand. We don't sit. And I really enjoy it.
I have a standing desk.
Right.
And I work, you know, hours and hours and hours on the films that I produce and whatever, and I stand the whole time.
Yeah, I sit in the Fade to Black studios in the bunker, but here I stand, and I really do enjoy it.
Yeah,
I do.
Good
yeah,
for you.
I do. All right, you ready? Ready to attack some of these phones?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Cornelius. Cornelius, where were you last night, my friend?
Oh, Jimmy, I wasn't coming in on that. L.A. knows me. On my birthday on January 5th, I got one of L.A.'s books and DVDs and stuff. I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Boogies, and Beans man there, L.A. I'm telling everybody to get ready. And I've been to Poverty Point where you were talking about. I was saying Pleasant Point. I ain't never heard that in Louisiana. But, it's a great area. The next time you're here, L.A., please come by Alexandria, Louisiana, and meet your great fan and friend, Cornelius White, Jr.
I'd love to do it, Cornelius. We'll definitely break bread with some gumbo. One of my favorite things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And look, have you ever been to Mardi Gras, either one of y'all?
Yes, I have. Have you, L.A.?
No, I've never been to Mardi Gras. Nope.
I did it once. I'll say this. I didn't say twice, as you noticed. I've done it once, and I'll say this. New Orleans is a remarkable, magical place, top to bottom, front to back, north to south, the entire town, magical. But when I got out of town after that Mardi Gras, I felt lucky.
Let me tell you, your friend Tommy Danheiser has been to Mardi Gras here, but my question for you, L.A., if you come back to Poverty Point, Louisiana, I believe in God and stuff like that. I think the fallen angels are getting ready to come down upon us, the military with their exercise and stuff, those Navy pilots getting all that stuff. So I think we'll finally get some type of disclosure, but they're going to say, oh, we made you and all like that. You're going to have to worship us. So God bless you, L.A., and Jimmy, I'm with church.
Thank you so much, Cornelius. Have a great night.
Yes, Cornelius.
Yeah, he brings up a really good point, though. Disclosure, right? This is moving along at a pretty fast clip, L.A. You've been writing and talking and lecturing about this for years, mm-hmm. but things are happening right now, aren't they?
Well, you know, we're kind of breaking stride here, which is good because it's all related, in my opinion. But
it is.
Disclosure happened in December. We had three things. Most Coast to Coast listeners know all this already. We had the Fravor, the F-18 pilot, coming on the record. We had Harry Reid, former Senator Harry Reid, saying that there's a secret government program studying UFOs. And we had the government admitting the existence of Area 51. Backtracking, the existence of Area 51, all the tinfoil hat people, myself included, and I wear mine very proudly, we've been saying this for years. Secret government program studying UFOs. What does that mean? How are they studying them? Are they just taking pictures and looking at home videos? Or do they actually have retrieved crash materials? Are they studying the metals? Are they back engineering things like Bob Lazar insists? And Fravor, what the heck? How does that happen? How does an obscure pilot like this guy Fravor wind up on Fox News with Tucker Carlson? Are you kidding me? It's a managed agenda. Someone pulled the strings. Or, you know, just think about it. How does Fravor get on? Where does the film come from? I mean, all this is, it's a carefully, as Chuck Missler would say, carefully managed agenda. They're rolling it out. 2018, who knows where it will go? You know, retrieve crash stuff from the Roswell site, 1947, who knows?
Well, everything that we talk about, and we're going to get to phone calls here in just a second, but everything that we talk about, whether it's lost history or Egypt or the Nephilim or Göbekli Tepe or Ghost or near-death experiences, parallel worlds, time travel, UFOs, all of megalithic structures. If one of these dominoes falls, and it looks like they're starting to fall, they're all going to fall, L.A., and we're going to be, you know, laughing.
There's definitely a connectivity between everything you just said.
That's right.
I mean, everything is, there's a web here. There's a history. I love when Scotty Walter in America on Earth used to say there's a hidden history that we're not being told. I'm paraphrasing here, but it's exactly true. There's a hidden history of this planet, which we're not being told. I mean, like you mentioned Göbekli Tepe. I've never been there. It's on the bucket list along with Baalbek. Both of those areas, you know, especially the stuff that I write, not user-friendly, let's put it that way. But the fact that Göbekli Tepe is there, and we've got these huge megaliths that this whole city was sort of buried, it seems, and the artistic work on these columns. I mean, there's just, we could just talk about this the rest of the evening. There's a mystery happening here, and that's where I plug in the supernatural.
Yeah, 12,000 years old.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Let's go out west. Let's go to Krista up in Fairbanks, Alaska. Krista, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, I'm such an honor to be on. I have some really interesting information. When I was listening to the show, I heard him say 3,500 years ago, and I couldn't believe when he said that. I just got done watching a documentary about a tribe in New Zealand that are Caucasian. They have red hair, blue eyes, green eyes, and they claim through their oral history that they came over from a great war in India from Egypt and Persia, fleeing because they lost. They traveled through the Mediterranean, made it to Peru, and they were attacked there by the locals and driven over to Easter Island, where they named the island the Final Land. And then that's where they inhabited and traveled all over Polynesia, all over the place. And now, they're there. They're alive. They're living. They have DNA that you can test. And I'm just like blown away by all the missing pieces that are coming together. It is so true that the dominoes are falling in every aspect of the paranormal.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You're right, Krista, and thank you for the phone call, because L.A., everything that you listed with the mitochondria DNA, all of those possibilities right there are exactly what she just mentioned, and that's in New Zealand, and the linear time scale in this, it all fits, but this is what Orthodox academia refuses to teach.
And that to me is extremely problematic. You know, there was a guy in one of the UCLA or wherever, or UC Santa, it wasn't Santa Barbara, it was some college out here in Southern California, and I forget, it might have been UCLA, I don't remember, it doesn't matter. This guy was talking about the fact that studying dinosaurs, and it seemed like the blood material, the marrow and the bones was like still there. I mean, how can a fossil that's like 50 million years old or whatever have live cells in it? I mean, it just couldn't be there. So he's fired from his job because he's a Christian and he has a Christian worldview. And he's saying like, and he brought the thing to trial and he won because the data speaks for itself. And I'll tell you, I'm not prophetic, but I'll tell you this right off the bat. When we present this and it gets out, watch the rebuttals, watch the stuff come in, and the default argument will be it's all contamination, and we're saying, okay, let's pretend it's all contamination. What do you do with the morphological oddities? What do you do with this? So let's just table the DNA. Just let's So that's why it's a 1-2 punch. Look at the morphological differences in the skulls and Parakis. And after we present all the evidence, and there's some real startling dynamics here that Rick Woodward will bring to the table that are exclusive to the Parakis skulls and not human skulls. So is it a subspecies? We don't know. More testing needs to be done. But watch the blowback. Because, how dare you go out and collect data and present this? Well, you know, you're not even an archaeologist. You're not even degreed. Well, that's why we have a degreed archaeologist on the team. But watch the blowback. Watch the ad hominem attacks, because that's what it always is.
Yeah, I mean, what's the alternative? The alternative is doing nothing.
Well, there is, you know, your ivory tower and throw stones.
That's right. Let's go to, let's see. Let's go to Frank in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Frank, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Frank.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is, I've been involved for, I don't know, greater part of almost 20 years in heavy lift, and that's what I did to make a living. I mean, I studied engineering in college, and I don't know about aliens or anything like that, but I've watched all these programs, and I've seen all these massive stones and these megalithic structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too much about anything, but I do know that if you're going to do a lift like that, in modern days, to do a lift like that, you have to have these massive cranes.
Yep.
And you just don't come out to a site and erect a crane. A lot of times you have to have a pad, a reinforced pad
put down.
And you have to calculate and all this other things. But to lift the things that we were lifting, in, I don't know, several hundred tons, which is a stretch for our technology. I mean, we bring out some of the biggest cranes that are built. I mean, these are multi-million dollar cranes. They're computerized, and when you do a heavy lift like that, the computer measures how much you've got on the block, and it won't let your crane, you won't let the boom go so far, because you see on videos and things of people trying to do these heavy lifts, and the boom breaks. That's because they went past that point of stress.
Hey, Frank, we're going to head towards a break here. I want to have L.A. a chance to answer your question. So really quick, what's your question for L.A. tonight?
Okay, the people with the elongated skulls, was the brain also elongated? And if it was, did that affect the cognitive ability of the people?
That is my great, favorite question.
That's a great question.
Thank you, Frank.
We've done some testing on this, and we know that in some of the skulls, the actual brain capacity is 20 to 30% larger than a normal human brain. So there are some very interesting aspects with that. And I can't stress this enough, more studying needs to be done. I mean, we've got more questions now after 5 years than we have answers, but we've got some answers. But in our discovery, it just led to a lot, you know, further questions. And I just want to go back to the megalithic stones. There is no technology left over. It's not there. Whoever did this took the technology with them. And you're right. You know, you can't just show me. If I was a billionaire, this is what I would do. I would get the best stonemasons of the world. I'd give them replicas of the copper chisels and the mallets and the stone mallets and everything else that the Inca used. I'd take them to the quarry, which is 45 miles away from Sacsayhuaman, and I'd say, just build me a wall. Just build me a short wall, just 20 feet of a wall. And by the way, just let's make it easy. We'll just use stones that are about 10 tons. We won't go to the huge ones that weigh over 120. We'll just go 10 tons. Just show me how you do that without a beast of burden. They got llamas there. There are no horses. Just show me how you do it. Just make me a wall. Here are your tools. See, no one puts it to a test. And this is what drives me nuts. No one is actually going, okay, show me how you do this, guys.
Right.
Just show me.
Well, when you look in Caracas, when you look over from where the wall is, and you look across, and you just imagine that quarry is 25 miles away, but between the wall and where that quarry is like 30 hills.
Yeah, how
big
does that
ones.
Work?
I mean,
how
big
does that
ones.
Work?
It blows my mind.
Yeah, it blows my mind too. It's just
100-ton rock, you know, going up and down over those hills. So
I honestly think I call it fallen angel technology. Nephilim architecture. That's my label for it.
And the other part that Frank brought up, and I've done a lot of research on this, L.A., and I'm sure you have too, the most complex modern crane today, 100 meters up, 50 meters out, okay? 100 up, 50 out, 20 tons. That's it. That's it. Now, the tonnage goes up as the height comes down and the reach comes in. But as far as max, 100 meters up, 50 meters out, 20 tons. Not 2,500 tons like Baalbek.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, it does not.
Work.
Now, really quick, we're going to head towards a break here, and we kind of jumped ahead on this. Where is the press conference?
The press conference is at the Marriott Hotel at LAX. I believe it's sold out, so there's, people who want to come, you can try. You can go try to register, but I believe it's sold out. However, we have live streaming, which you can watch if you're at work. You can come home and plug it in and watch the live streaming. You go to lamarzulli.net. It's right up there. There's a banner. Click to register. And then the day of the conference, the live streaming will be, of course, live, but you'll be able to watch it for about a month. So plenty of time to watch it. And it's really a press conference, but it's more like a conference. It's there's at least 4 hours from 1 to 5, 4 hours of speakers. All 8 of us will be speaking. So it's going to be amazing. Brian Forrester, I'll kind of lead it off with, sort of an overview, whatever our hypothesis is. Richard Shaw will then step up and give us and show us his wonderful 6-minute movie that he created, which is a compilation of the other films. Brian Forrester will then present a PowerPoint presentation of all his exhaustive research. Chase Klosky next will give us a forensic overview. Then Mondo Gonzalez with the DNA. This is where the 1-2 punch comes in. Mondo Gonzalez gives us a DNA overview, very extensive, over 50 samples that were tested, followed by Rick Woodward, our anthropologist, talking about the morphological oddities and differences in the Baraka skulls, followed by Dr. Alde, who will bolster Rick Woodward's position on the foramen magnum and all that.
Well, let me jump in. We got to take a network break. We'll finish that when we come back. Our guest tonight, L.A. Marzulli. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. I've got to share this one with you because this story just broke. And this happened over in India. And a man's dream over there of owning a genie in a bottle, right? I dream of genie, turned into the nightmare of a lifetime this past week. It all began when he got a call from a friend with exciting news that someone in the city of Burdwan possessed a bottle containing a ghost which could grant wishes, and they were willing to sell it, right? So, what do you do? I say, when somebody says that, why would they want to sell a genie in a bottle that grants wishes for money when they could just have their own wishes granted for some money, right? Isn't that enough to just back off on this? So you got to go check out the story. It's pretty great. It's right there at Coast to Coast AM in the news section. Our guest tonight, L.A. Marzulli, he's helping me man the phones right now. So we're going to get back to more of your phone calls after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is L.A. Marzulli, and follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. That's what you want to do. Do it right now at JChurchRadio because your questions, and I'm holding one here, L.A., that is just great. And if it's good, like this one, I'll read it on the air. And this comes in from Native Alien, L.A., and the question is this. Why won't we won't truly know what is going on with these skulls until both the mDNA and nuclear DNA are done? Is this correct?
Well, in part it is, yes. And I stated that right up front. We need the nuclear DNA. Absolutely need the nuclear DNA because that'll give us the whole picture. It'll start to give us the genome, what we're actually looking at. And without the nuclear DNA, we don't know. But what's compelling about it, we have the mitochondrial DNA from all these different samples, and it's definitely validating our hypotheses. And we're following the data. If it all came back, Asian, I wouldn't be on the show talking. I mean, I would just go, well, this is what the data pointed to, and let's all go home. It's all cradle headboarded, but that's not what we're seeing. Again, there's morphological differences. The DNA is pointing to an origin other than Asia. Not all of them, but many of them. So more study needs to be done. And the whole idea of the press conference, it's been 5 years, bring everybody up to speed. Here's what the data is showing. End of story. This is what the data is showing. We're not speculating. No one's saying, oh, we found the Nephilim. We're not saying that.
Right.
It could be, but we don't know yet. So until we get the nuclear DNA, we're just, we're trying to be as conservative as possible. No hype here. I mean, I could get on this show and hype this thing like crazy, right? And be like a carny guy, a carnival salesman. But that's not what I'm doing. I'm telling everybody right up front, it's not conclusive. More testing needs to be done. We don't have a nuclear DNA, but the evidence is pointing to something, or the data is pointing to evidence that may rewrite history.
Let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach. Michael, you're up next on Coast. Say hi to L.A.
Hello, L.A.
Hey, Michael, and, how you doing, man?
Thank you for having him on, Jim. L.A., the self-described largest Christian university in the world, is right here in the state of Virginia. It's in Lynchburg, Virginia, and it's called Liberty University. Now, if you haven't been invited to the world's largest Christian university to discuss your theory and your discovery so far.
Michael, can you speak up for us a little bit? We can't hear you.
A little louder.
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying, if you haven't been to the largest Christian university, Liberty University, to discuss these skulls, they should certainly be excited about it. What about Hebrew University? Wouldn't somebody like Bill Gates, who has already rejected the Darwinian model, says it couldn't have happened, why aren't you talking to people like a Jewish Bill Gates, a Jewish Jeff Bezos?
We lost him right there. I guess I kind of understand where he's coming from.
I think so too. You raised some really good points, and I agree with you. And I think what we will do now that we've got some data is approach Liberty University with the data and see if they want to get involved on some level. What we don't want to do is have, people sort of take control of the whole thing. That we're not going to allow.
Let's go to my hometown. John in Chicago, Illinois. John, you're up next on Coast.
Mr. C, great job, guest hosting as usual. L.A., I really enjoy when you're on the program. I appreciate all your insight.
Thank you.
I've looked at a lot of your materials, and from early on, I realized what was going on here with suppressing the giants and the powers that be, which I like you maybe you could elaborate on that. Who are the powers that be that are trying to suppress this information? Who are they? What are they exactly? And I have my own theory on it, but I'd like to hear what you think that the reason is, besides trying to discredit the Bible and so forth.
Again, great question. There is a dark cabal that has been in line with what I would call ancient, nefarious, interdimensional entities, and I'm deliberately cloaking it that way so people that don't have a Christian worldview will actually listen to it. And I'm not saying it in a disparaging way or a condescending way. I mean, if I say the word fallen angel, immediately certain pictures come into people's mind, and certain prejudices will follow those preconceived notions. If I say nefarious interdimensional entity, that's acceptable, and that's why I couch it that way. That we are at war. This planet is under siege, in my opinion. this war is being played out. We've got the prophetic literature from the Hebrew Christian Bible, both found in the Torah, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. All this prophetic literature is created and called out with great specificity by the authors, and there's no collusion between them for the most part. The bottom line is, things are written well in advance, and they're not fuzzy like Nostradamus' quatrains. They are told with great specificity, and we are at war. And, you know, if last time I was on with George, we were talking about one of the films, In Their Own Words, UFOs Are Real. And I've been saying this at conferences. If we are intellectually honest, no one has any idea of what this is or where we are in it. If the universe is analogous to the United States of America, are we in Cleveland, Walla Walla, Michigan, Tampa, Florida? No one knows. Nobody knows. Lots of theories out there, but nobody knows. There is no Big Bang. Well, where did that come from? How did that happen? Nobody knows where we are and what this is. And I find that incredibly wondrous and at the same time deeply troubling. You know, it's just, and we could go down that rabbit trail. So those are my thoughts.
Oh, my so that was Nathan. That wasn't me. Let's go to first-time caller Joe in Naples, Florida. Joe, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, how you doing, Jimmy, in L.A.? I'm 59 years old. I've been halfway around the world. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Pompeii. I've been to Greece. And I was so intrigued with ancient history. And I'm also to a dedicated Bible. I study the Bible. But I don't want to get in that because what you're doing and the route you're taking, the truth is going to come forth. If there's a truth, it'll come forth and you're going to bring it forth. You don't need to, you know, pound that out, which is right. But when you look at the evidence, did you ever research mud fossils, like Mud Fossil University and Giants, and the history of the book of the Giants? It talked about the writer talked about. We were told that, you know, from dinosaurs that they were got big to small, and but man's got small to big. And that it was arbitrary to what the evidence was. But if there is in the Nephilim and Giants, which I know, you guys are right on the money, man. I mean, I've been studying it myself. I've been talking to my coworkers, and they think I'm absolutely insane. And when you turn around, it's so frustrating to open your eyes.
Yeah, you're right. You are right, Joe. And thank you for the phone call. L.A., you've been studying giants. This has been your thing for quite a while now.
Yeah, I first got into it when I read Dr. I.D.E. Thomas's book. That book changed my life, The Omega Conspiracy. We actually carry it in our bookstore, and I was privileged to write the foreword for the newest edition, which is published by Defender Publishing Company. And I wrote the foreword to it. So here I am writing a foreword to the book that changed my life. Dr. I.D.E. Thomas was my mentor, and that book set me on the quest that I've been on since the late 1980s. So it's you know, coming up on 30 years here. And Thomas's book is well-written, well-researched. It should be a primer for anyone who is interested in the Nephilim, in the Giants. And then from there, what I basically amplified his work with all of our studies out on Catalina, where I actually got into the archives and we found pictures which had been hidden away in museum boxes, never to see the light of day. And we had them analyzed, and we found six fingers, skeletons, nine-footers, elongated skulls, the whole nine yards, right there at the Catalina Museum. Unbelievable.
You know, what's fascinating, I think that North America and the critics are, you know, save the email from what I'm about to say. But North America is ignored when it comes to history and ancient history. Yeah. We look at Rome, we look at Greece, we look at Egypt, we look at Mesopotamia, Sumer, and Africa, and certainly into South America. But North America, ignored. We have more evidence of giants here in North America than probably any place on Earth. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, I sure do, and I agree with you. The giants roam the Americas. Most Native American tribes, most First Nation people knew about them. They can take you to where they're buried. And I, you know, for those out there who might be listening that are First Nation people, I respect you know, your oral traditions. I really do. I respect your oral traditions where you talk about your tribe fought red-haired, 9-foot, 10-foot, 12-foot cannibalistic giants. I get that. I'm right there with you. Allow us, show us the bones. Allow us to go in, you know. And my people came over here in 1898, so I had nothing to do with anything, okay? I'm Italian. I had nothing to do with the genocide that was practiced against First Nation people. But I know. I mean, I could take you to right now, I could take your entire audience up to a place where we know, it's in Minnesota, I know the burial, I've been on the land, I've walked it. I know where it is, we can't touch it because of NAGPRA. If the tribe would allow us to go in and just uncover it, and then we'll rebury it. And we'll employ everybody from the tribe. You guys can do whatever you want with it, but we know where they are. We know where they are, and we can't touch it, and that's really frustrating.
Let's go out east. Time for one more phone call. Let's go to James in Brooksville, Florida. James, you're up next on Coast. Real quick, last call for L.A.
Yes, I was told to make it quick. I was wanting to say, he was wondering how they got here. Doesn't the Bible say after the flood, in the days of Peleg, was the earth divided? If that's so, wouldn't that mean that there are different people on same people on the different continents around the world? And wouldn't that make up for half the stories they've made up since Noah, because they're all coming from the same place?
Yeah, it's a great, right there. Thank you, James. He's exactly right, L.A. Well, you know what? Noah's like the last version of the story.
Well, what's interesting is in the Torah, Genesis 6 specifically, it talks about the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. And then it amplifies it. When the sons of God, who are the fallen angels, nefarious interdimensional entities, saw the daughters of men and had children by them. These were the great men of renown. So there's multiple incursions that are happening. And I think, and this is a book I'm actually working on, this thing gets so deep and so creepy, it is, and it's global. It is bizarre. It's just bizarre.
When we look at Gilgamesh, we can look at Greece, we can look at ancient Egypt. You can go to the Edfu wall there, where it talks about a flood 12,000 years ago.
Right.
China, Japan, India, like I said, Greece, everybody has got a flood myth.
Sure. Including the Chumash Indians right out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, including the Chumash Indians. You know, and so when we take a peek at that and we're discussing transoceanic cultures and the possibility of something going from Gibraltar,
right?
It the evidence is clearly there.
And again, the powers that be don't like it because it upsets their theory. And yet, you know, what amazes me about some of the labs that we worked with, they're afraid to go on the record because of the ridicule. And Ben Stein did a movie called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, and he basically took to task academia and the way academia is run. And it's shameful that this type of research is frowned upon, or that people in academia or the scientific community or some of these labs will not come on the record because they're afraid of ridicule. And I'm appalled by that. I mean, we go where the data is telling us. No one's making anything up, you know? No one's making any of this up. Here's the data. The data speaks for itself. Raise up Philoquiter.
Tell everybody about your new radio show over at KGRA. Yeah. Where and when can they go and listen to it?
Thank you. It's KGRA every Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. It's on for an hour. I usually do a half-hour update on a variety of things, and then we bring a guest via Skype. And then I film that in my studio. So it's live radio, which you can listen on KGRA on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. California time. But then we film the whole thing, and then I put that up on my YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli. So go to YouTube, L.A. Marzulli. Go to the net, lamarzulli.net. That's where you can find the banner to register for live streaming, because if you're interested in this stuff at all, you're going to want to see 4 hours of presentations, because that's what it is.
L.A., radio is radio. When you go and you combine live video, that means you have to wear a clean shirt, a different shirt. You have to shave. You have to brush your hair. Right?
You know, What a sacrifice.
Well, for me, when we started doing live in-studio video, you know, for years, I could do the show in my pajamas. I didn't have to shave for a week.
There you go.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And now we broadcast, as you know, every night. And I've got cameras in the studio. That means I have to have this wardrobe. I always have to be. Yeah. No, it's supposed to be radio. And when I come into Coast and we don't have the live cameras in here, I feel pretty good. I feel different. Well, I do want to thank you, L.A., for everything that you do. The new Watchers, the Best of Watchers, which you are the host of, is also just been released.
Absolutely. And, you know, Richard Shaw just did an amazing job on that. He's the director of Watchers, and we made 10 of these things together, actually 11 of them. And this is the Best of Watchers. And, you know, if you've never seen the Watchers series, check it out, www.lamarzulli.net.
Oh, and we just lost L.A. just like that. Okay, lamarzulli.net. That is all very simple. Just go over to coasttocoastam.com, and you can click on L.A.'s name. A couple of things I do want to note. The press conference is February 2nd here in Los Angeles at LAX. The new Watchers DVD, The Best of Watchers, is now out. You can get all of that information over at lamarzulli.net. Coming up next, Anthony F. Sanchez, standing in on this weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.